We're back now on this Agriculture Today, and we want to pass along on this segment more information that was shared with the audience at the recent Risk and Profit Conference at Kansas State University, hosted once more by the Department of Agricultural Economics. There was a session on proposed changes to the Federal Crop Insurance Program as part of the 2018 Farm Bill Dialogue. Now, we're not that far down the road on that process yet, but what's being said about crop insurance has garnered more than a little bit of attention. Those who have been looking at it from an analytical point of view include our guest now, Michael Taylor, agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension. She talked about this at Risk and Profit. And the thought here is that this is a major issue for virtually all of crop production in Kansas and the United States, Michael.
Yes. I mean, any changes to crop insurance can have some pretty far-reaching effects. So it's of interest to know, even at this relatively early stage of talking about the Farm Bill, what might come under consideration for changes and, you know, taking the time to look at those and seeing what kind of consequences it would have.
And you and your colleagues, including Art Barnaby, have done just that on several points that have been forwarded out there. One of those is a cap on participation based on adjusted gross income of an operation. What is actually being considered there?
So there's two different caps that are being considered. One under the Affirm Act is a $250,000 adjusted gross income or AGI cap. And then the other one that's in the administration's budget is a higher cap at $500,000. So basically what we know about that is if a farm has an AGI above one of those two thresholds, then they wouldn't be able to participate in crop insurance in that year. Now that threshold might be a three-year average or some kind of rolling average, but we just know that it's going to create a threshold for income above which any farm that hits that is not going to then be able to participate in crop insurance for a period of time.
But what you and colleagues here did was take a look at just what the implementation of one of those caps would mean as far as insurance participation, right?
Right. So what we looked at was basically saying, okay, if we capped participation based on AGI, what would that do to the percent of farms that would be able to participate? And the interesting thing is that, well, we know that AGI fluctuates from year to year. So if it's a good year and we've had really high profitability in the sector like we did in 11, 12, and 13, well, then you can have between 30 and 40% of Kansas farms that would be affected by that cap.
This is based on Kansas Farm Management Association data, correct?
Yes, it is. And then taking that same data and looking at years like 2015 and 2016, well, then that drops to only 5 to 10% of the farms that would be affected. But in either case, you're going to be lopping off these upper earning farms.
And what does that mean? That resonates a little deeper than a lot of folks realize, you say.
Well, the other thing that we looked at was what does it do to the underlying risk pool? If you take out these high-earning farms, does it change the riskiness of the pool of farms that then are being included in the crop insurance program? And the short answer to that is yes. It will make the underlying risk pool riskier, which means that premiums will go up for everybody that's left in the pool. So there's implications for you, even if you're not one of the farms to get taken out of the program because of your AGI, you could end up in a riskier pool that has to be insured and then the premiums go up. The other thing that is possible to happen is that farms and farmers are going to try to work around these types of limitations by creating more farms, you know, paperwork-wise. But it's still a matter of tracking each of these farms and their adjusted gross income every year and who can and can't participate. And that in and of itself is going to have some administrative costs, both for RMA and for the producers themselves.
And all of this falls under the heading of unintended consequences.
It does. I mean, it's just important to know that even if you're not one of the farms that gets eliminated from participation, it could still affect you through your premiums.
And that is regardless of which of these two caps we're talking about, the $500,000, the $250,000, same principle applies here.
Same principle applies. If it's the $250,000 cap, you're just cutting off that many more farms, which changes the risk pool just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So you might have just that much bigger of an impact on premiums.
So that is one of the changes that's being considered, and what KFMA data is saying about the end result of such a cap based on, again, adjusted gross income. Then there's talk, which we've heard quite some time now, Michael, and that is regarding premium subsidies and capping those, the cost share that farmers and the federal government enter into in supporting insurance.
Right. So this particular proposal that's out there is basically saying, look, right now, producers are getting about a 60% discount on every dollar of coverage that they buy. So we're going to limit that to only $40,000 in cost share coming from the government. And then what would happen is any coverage that a producer would buy beyond that $40,000, they would pay full price for it. So they would lose their 60% discount and they would pay dollar for dollar for anything. So it doesn't limit your ability to be in the program, but it definitely changes the cost if you hit that $40,000 subsidy cap.
And so you analyzed this in a similar manner to see what the impact would be?
Sure. So this is where Art and I looked at the number of acres that it would take to hit that cap. And so in 2016 in Kansas, it's just shy of 2,000 acres. In other words, you could insure about 2,000 acres in Kansas in 2016 before you hit that $40,000 subsidy cap. But then any acres that you want to insure beyond that 2,000, that's going to cost you full dollar for dollar. The interesting thing there is that, you know, that 2,000 acre cap changes every year. So this is similar to the other proposal where in years where we are insuring a high value crop, like in 2011, 12, and 13, in those cases, you only make it to about 1,500 acres. And then you've hit the subsidy cap and you have to pay full price for all the coverage you would get beyond that. So it's going to fluctuate year to year as to how many acres you could insure with the cost share from the government and then how much you would have to pay for full price. And in most cases, we figure that people won't pay full price for that crop insurance. In that case, we're going to see between 20 and 30% of farms hitting that cap and having to decide how they're going to allocate their crop insurance dollars. I've got my, say, 2,000 acres, but my farm is 5,000 acres. Which acres am I going to insure? And the logical answer to that is I'm going to insure my riskiest acres. So if that's your corn crop and you insure your corn crop and you don't insure your wheat or you don't insure your beans, well, that follows through the same result that was in the previous, the AGI cap. Mm-hmm. You now have a risk pool of people who are insuring their riskiest crops. So the riskiness of the pool increases, therefore the premiums increase for everybody that's left in the pool. So even if you're not affected directly by this $40,000 subsidy cap, you could be affected indirectly by the riskiness of the pool going up and therefore the premiums going up.
And once more, results that were not anticipated were not really the basis of these proposed changes at all.
Right. I mean, these changes on the surface seem like they're targeting a very specific group of producers, high-earning, large-scale farms. And they do that, but because of the nature of the insurance industry, it has ramifications then for everybody that's left in the pool.
When you presented the information at Risk and Profit Conference, it likely generated considerable dialogue and discussion. It's still very much up in the air whether these will ever see the light of day, but they are to be taken seriously, aren't they?
I think at this point, any considerations that are coming up looking at crop insurance need to be taken seriously. You know, we listened to our guest speaker, Matt Erickson. He's the chief economist for the Senate Ag Committee, and he basically, his take-home point was that there's a lot of things being asked for, there's a limited number of resources, and so some tough decisions are going to be made, and there's no reason to think that crop insurance isn't on that list of things that could have some tough decisions made. Whether it's exactly these proposals that we're talking about here today or some other version, I think we just need to keep in mind that any proposal that comes up that's looking to change crop insurance, there's probably more to it than what's just on the surface.
So in other words, producers shouldn't just assume that crop insurance will be held harmless. There's a lot of give and take going here.
Right. I mean, I would anticipate there's going to be a lot of tough decisions being made and that there's going to be a lot of debate. So hopefully crop insurance will you know, come out unscathed. But again, we just need to pay attention so we can be aware of what's being discussed and what those ramifications are.
Well, the kind of analysis that you and Art Barnaby of K-State have put together will add to good discussion on what might happen here. This is posted on the agmanager.info website, is it not?
Yes, it is, along with all the other presentations from the Risk and Profit Conference.
So be sure to check that out. And you're looking for, by title, Crop Insurance and the Next Farm Bill. That was the presentation that Michael and Art Barnaby offered up to the Risk and Profit audience. And it's really good work and important information to have in pocket as we consider the future of the crop insurance program. Michael, thank you for coming over and sharing these notes. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Happy to do it.
Research and Extension Agricultural Economist at K-State, Michael Taylor. Once more, she was one of those presenting this analysis of the potential restrictions on crop insurance and what they might mean to the overall coverage available to producers. That at the Risk and Profit Conference last week here at K-State. And you're listening to Agriculture Today.